I hope everybody has a source sheet. If not, there are a bunch more here. Send them down if somebody needs it. Put them in there. Sorry if there were some mixed messages sent out in terms of a shiur that I would be giving. Just to organize and clarify, Be'ezrat Hashem, it was supposed to start this week, but because Rav Shlomo asked me to speak now, because Shana Aleph people are not here, it's going to start next week, a weekly Shana Bet Shana Gimel Shir for anybody interested. I think it will be 7 o'clock in the evening, either Sunday night or Monday night. Next week it will be Sunday night, I think, because Monday Shiva is busy with other inyanim. So the topic is, I gave it a general title, Foundations of Torah. But what we're going to be focusing on for the first couple months is the foundations of Emunah, Yesodot Emunah, as they're expressed in Mitzvah Kriyat Shema. And it was going to be today, but as I said, being that Rav Shlomo asked me to speak, so today is like a pre-Rosh Hashanah shir, preparation for Rosh Hashanah. Next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to start Inyanei Kriyat Shema, the Kavanot of Kriyat Shema is something we're going to be dealing with. As I said, for those interested, probably have it in the shiur room on the porch, 7 o'clock Monday evenings. We'll focus also on Yenei Rosh Hashanah, but in different ways than today. Okay, let's start. Everybody here is already old enough and experienced enough, I think, to know that one of the more frustrating experiences for an Oved Hashem, for an honest Oved Hashem, for an Oved Hashem who tries to reach honesty in his life, hopefully that's all of us. I think what's one of the deeper underlying messages of this building, to the credit of the Rosh Yeshiva here, to aspire to authenticity, to realness, to despise anything fake, whether it's about others and definitely about ourselves. Kadosh Baruch Hu hates anything which is fake. We should also, about others, but mainly to check it about ourselves. True all year round. Al achat kama v'kama, coming to the day of truth itself, which is one of the definitions one can give to the upcoming Hayom HaKadosh V'Hanora, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaEmet. All year round we say on the Moadim and Shabbatot, V'taher li beinu l'ovdecha be'emet. But never do we give an explanation for that request, which is one of many requests. Kachenu b'mitzvotecha, v'ten chalkenu b'toratecha, samchenu b'shuatecha, v'tzanech hagim. But, V'taher li beinu l'ovdecha be'emet, on Rosh Hashanah, we continue and we say, why? Ki ata Elohim emet, u'dvarcha emet v'kayam la'ad. Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael, this year also, HaShabbat from Yisrael, V'Yom HaZikaron. Yom HaEmet. So let's have that concept hovering above our discussion. Also this week, and also for those who are going to come, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week. The Day of Truth. One of the more frustrating experiences for people who try to be truthful indeed in their Avodat Hashem is that comes Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, Yom HaKippurim, and I try more than any other time in the year to take upon myself things. And what's frustrating is that experience that I feel it just doesn't work, or only very partially works. I thought it would work much more. That disappointment that I'm falling into the same pitfalls over and over again. Okay, that's one of the most common issues, common questions that people have, common debates and common frustrations. So I'd like to suggest two levels of reflection. When I say reflection, thought, deep thought, food for thought for the next week and a half. until Rosh Hashanah comes on two different levels. Let's, with no further introduction, let's go first into the first level. Then, if we have enough time, Bezat Hashem, to a much deeper level, let's go in. Each one of the Moadim has a certain essence of time that defines it. Now, what do I mean by essence of time? That sounds extremely non-scientific, correct? But we Jews, Baruch Hashem, don't care about that. Because, with all respect to science, science only describes one little sliver of a much greater reality. And though many scientists, physicists, cosmologists will say, what are you talking about, essence of time? In Torah, there is an essence of time. Different times of the year contain different contents and essences. I don't know if there's such a word in English. Doesn't matter. To it. And so it is in time, and so it is in space. Also, that's extremely non-scientific. What? Eretz Yisrael possesses a certain essence to it? Torah says, yes, it's Eretz HaKodesh. What, it's qualitatively different than a similar terrain of, I don't know, Greece? Yes, it's inherently different. But scientifically, it's not measurable. It's just all in your mind. If you want to think that way, just send them. Rav Kook, I always quote Rav Kook in the beginning of one of his famous books, Orot, says there's no way for us to understand, conceptualize, wrap our head around, and define what is different about this land than any other land. But he says, but we experience that it's different. It's very significant. Now again, an atheist or an atheist psychologist will say, it's just, you convince yourself. And maybe some people even in this room, they doubt themselves because we're in a generation where people very much enjoy doubting things. It's one of the idols of this generation. Let's doubt. So, maybe not, maybe it's just in my mind. I think most people here experience something is just different over here. I can't explain, for sure not scientifically, but it's different. And within Eretz Yisrael itself, different places contain different qualities. The area of Shevet Reuven and Shevet Yehudah and Shevet Ephraim, Menashe, Ever Yarden, each place has its unique character to it. What do you mean? Space? Geography contains a character? Torah says yes. So deep is it that it's a godly lottery that dishes out the share of each tribe in accordance with its essence. But it doesn't make sense scientifically. So Torah says, who cares? So if a person is still in that place of v'anachnu korimu mishtachadim to science, he has a problem. And those of us who weaned ourselves from that place and look at science in the proper proportion, fine, science is one level in reality. There are other levels of reality. I have mentioned it many times in the past. Science has one word to say about what the human mind is, zero. Till today, science doesn't have a clue what the human mind is. You would expect a little more humility on the part of many scientists who have figured out so much about the world. The only thing that the scientific mind hasn't figured out is itself. What is the mind? We don't know. So therefore it doesn't exist. Many will claim true. It doesn't exist. If you want to walk around the world with a sense that your mind doesn't exist, you don't exist, go see somebody. I'm not anybody here. I'm saying that theoretical atheist. Okay. So, going back from space to time. Time has different qualities to it. There's something about Chodesh Nisan that at its peak, when the moon reaches its peak, it brings about a reality, an essence of Zman Chevuteinu. That's Anche Knesset HaGdolah coined that. Zman Chevuteinu. We say that in Yalevi Yavo, in the Brach of Kedushat Hayom. Or Zman Matan Torateinu. Or, coming up soon, Zman Simchateinu. Every Moed has its essence that has to do with that time. And when that time comes, that essence is there. Every year, it re-astounds me. And I always tell my son, or tell my wife, or whoever is by us for Sukkot, said, look, we have our Sukkot out on the pergola, out of the living room. Some of you guys slept there. last Sukkot. So a minute before Tzeitak HaChavim, or Shkia, Tzeitak HaChavim, however you calculate it, that's just another pergola. A moment after, it's a Sukkah. It became a halachic entity, a halachic reality. The beauty of a Sukkah is that you actually, it's a halachic reality that you can actually step into. That's its uniqueness and beauty. You go into a halachic cube. What a fascinating thing. You're coated with the presence of a Kadosh Baruch. But the point is the halachic reality that goes along with it. So it is with every moed. There's a halachic reality of an essence of time that the sun sets, and that's it. It starts. In the moment, the sun sets after 7 days, or after 8 days, or at the end of a Shabbat, it's out. The thing though is, every moed, for it to come out into existence, there needed to be an event in history to activate that essence of time. Yitziat Mitzrayim needed to activate the essence of Zman Cheruteinu. Chazal say, based on Psukim, Leil Shimurim, Laila Meshumar, Meshashat Yemei Bereshit, there's something about that time of the year that calls for freedom in its essence already from the very creation of the world, but Yitziat Mitzrayim actualizes it. So it is with Matan Torah and Chag HaShavuot, and so it is with Sukkot and all the Moedim. Every Moed has a historical origin to it. Yitziat Mitzrayim for Pesach, Matan Torah for Chag HaShavuot, the events in the Midbar with the Machlokets, what exactly the Sukkah is, Adonai HaKavod, or Sukkot Mamash, but either way, and so it is with Yom HaKippurim. What is the historical event? Listen carefully, I'm asking you a question. What's the historical event that activates Yom HaKippurim becoming an essence of Kapara? Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper alechem? There's something about the essence of this day that contains in it the possibility for erasing and wiping away. That's the Rishonim's definition for what is Kapara. To wipe away. In a way that no other days has that essence, to that extent. Kapara, tahara, kipa yom hazeh yechaper, ketz, michila u'slicha. There's something about the essence of the day. Itzumo shel yom mechaper. What is the historical event that activates, that turns on the button of Yom HaKippurim? What? The second luchot. Very good. Look, that will be the first source for tonight. Quickly look inside. I'm talking about source number two. Some people here mentioned is the Gemara Masechet Ta'anit Daf Kav Chet Amud Bet, source number two. The Mishnah there says, the quote from the Mishnah, Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Lo ayu, fascinating Gemara there, Lo ayu yomim tovim leYisrael kechamisha asar be'av keYom HaKippurim. Without going into the fascinating relationship between those two dates, what's the relationship between them? Which is the theme of relationship. But in any case, so the Gemara says there, Bishlema Yom HaKippurim, Mishum Di'id Be'Slicha U'Mechila. I understand what Yom Kippur is. It's a day, in essence, I'm adding the words in essence, of Slicha U'Mechila. Why? Yom Shenitnu Bo Luchot Achronot. That's what Mark and others said over here. It's the day that the second Luchot were given, the first year of Klal Yisrael, that defines Jewish time, defines the first annual cycle. It's on Yom HaKippurim on the 10th of Tishrei. You have that first year that Moshe Rabbeinu comes down after either two or three times of 40 days. Why is that? That's subject to Machalokat Rishonim. Whether Moshe Rabbeinu was up three times, I think as Rashi holds and other Rishonim hold it, only two. It's a question of how you darshan the Psukim in Parshat Kitisa. Following from Yudzayin B'Tamuz when Chet HaEgel took place, that whole stretch of the summer, and then Rosh Chodesh Elul, as I'm sure everybody here knows, Moshe Rabbeinu goes, in any case, according to either Shita, he goes up to receive the second Luchot, 40 days, Torah has to be given in 40 days, Rosh Chodesh Elul goes up, the shofar is blown, Kacha Ketuba Midrash, Pirkei de Rablezer, quoted in the tour, Kacha Muva LaHalacha, and that's why we blow the shofar till today. 40 days later, he comes down with the second set of Luchot, and that establishes the day of Slicha U'Mechila. What I'm saying is basically Rashi. Look inside in the Rashi, just below source number two. He has a whole kedarko shel Rashi. He doesn't miss a point. He calculates day by day. I'm not going to go through the whole calculation, just the underlined part. I underline, you see the underline? He says, Uboker, after the whole calculation, Uboker Yom Kippur Yarad,
שהוא עשרה בתשרי, ואותו היום נקבע ליום כיפור להודיע שמחל וניחם על הרעה.
That HaKadosh Baruch Hu went back on the bad that he wanted to do to Kronuko, to Am Yisrael. אשר דיבר לעשות לעמו. ועל כן, concludes Rashi, ועל כן נקבע צום כיפור בעשרה בתשרי, מוסיף רשי ואומר, כך שמעתי.
Okay?
Why is Yom Kippur on the 10th of Tishrei?
I always say, Chas v'shalom, that one would say, why not? I always say, how much you hear people know?
Torah is never why not. It's always why yes. It's Asara b'tishrei because it goes back to the events of the first year. That's the day where Chet HaEgel is resolved and forgiven. And the next day, on Yud Aleph Tishrei, Bnei Yisrael start building the Mishkan, which is going to be the manifestation of the Slicha u'Mechila. So in any case, that's Yom HaKippurim. Every Moed has its historical origin that activated it. And now let's go to Arden date. And let me ask the following question. What's the historical event that activates Rosh Hashanah? What?
Adam being created.
What?
Adam being created.
Adam being created. Yafeh. Not so poshut at all, as we will see soon. We'll see some sources inside. Not at all poshut what you're saying. But there's a famous Ran, which is based on the Medrash of Chazal. Look inside in source number 6. Very, very famous Ran. It's like, mamash. It's one of the sources. You can't enter into a Chag without it. It's all based on the Medrash, as we will see. Medrash Sikta Rabbati. I have the Medrash actually downstairs. Anybody wants to see the book? It's not so common. One of many Midrashei Chazal. On the Mishnah, on Daf Tet Zayin, in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, which we'll touch upon later more, the Mishnah there says, that source number 6, Ba'arba'a prakim ha'olam nidon, at 4 times of the year the world is judged. Not to be confused with source number 7, which is Rosh Hashanah Daf Bet Amud Aleph, Arba'a Rashei Shanim. There are 4 Rosh Hashanahs, and besides that, there are 4 times that the world is judged. Rosh Hashanah, as a day, belongs here and there, in both Mishnayot. Because Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Hashanah, and it's also Yom HaDin. We're going to be exploring soon where we know that from. But in any case, so the Ran here says, V'yesh lishol, you see the third line in the Ran, V'yesh lishol? Omer ha-shoel ha-Ran, V'yesh lishol ha-Am Adam, Nidon v'Rosh Hashanah yoter mi-bishar yamim. What is it about Rosh Hashanah that it calls for man's judgment more than any other day? The Bishlam Ashar Dvarim, Dayu Tvua, Uperot Ha'ilan, the other ones mentioned in this Mishnah, that the grain and the fruit and the water, each is judged at its time, because that's the time of the year that it's activated, that it comes about. Uperot Ha'ilan, Umayim, Kol Echad Bezmano Nidon, Kedamrinim Bagmara, the Pesach Zman Tvua, Uvatzer Zman Perot Ha'ilan, V'chag Zman Gishmei Shana. Aval Adam, Lama Onidon Berosh Hashanah Yoter Mibishar Yamim? אומר הרן, continue with me, ותירוץ דבר זה, the next paragraph, ותירוץ דבר זה, אומר הרן, למדנו מדגרסינן בפסיקתא, בשם רבי לזר, בפסוק, תירשו השם בימצאו, דתניה, ב-25 באלול נברא עולמה, חזר, teach us in a few places, this is one of them, that the world was created on the date of 25th of אלול. ולפי זה, הדתניה בגמרא, דרב לזר אומר, בתשרי נברא עולם, על גמר בריאתו כאמרינן דאדם הראשון שבו נגמר העולם נברא ביום השישי. Meaning, if the world was created בראשית ברא אלוקים is on the 25th of Elul, 6 days from that is Aleph Tishrei, that's the day, as Aaron said, of the creation of man. So what has that got to do with being a day of judgment? Let's continue. Continue with me. The Garcina, I skipped a few lines. The Garcina too hatam bepsikta nimzeta taomer b'rosh hashanah nivra adam arishon shah arishona ala b'machshava. The last narrow lines, 2 narrow lines. Shniyan itiayetz imalachei asharet b'shlosha kines afaro b'rviit giblo. It's going through the stages of the making of the man over the course of the hours of the 6th day, the day that man was made. בחמישית רקמו בשישית עשאו גולם בשביעית זרק בו נשמה בשמינית, an 8th hour of the day. Nothing here should be taken literally. Okay? We're talking about Ma'aseh Bereshit. Ma'aseh Bereshit, one has to be very careful. Going into complex waters, literally, not literally, what's a day, 24 hours, not 24 hours, very complicated sugiyot. Not to jump to take things literally, okay? However, בשישית עשר גונם, בשביעית זרק בו נשמה, בשמינית הכניסו לגן עדן, בתשיעית נצטווה. All happening on his day of creation, on the sixth day. בעשירית שרח, באחד עשרה נידון, בשתים עשרה יצא בדימוס. אמר לו הקדוש ברוך הוא, meaning, חטא אדם הראשון, פרק ב' ג' בראשית, and being sent out of Gan Eden is all, according to this, happening on that sixth day of creation. People were in Chumash year last year, we'll remember, we spent a lot of time on these concepts. However, אמר לו הקדוש ברוך הוא, the underlying part, that's the main point. אמר לו הקדוש ברוך הוא, זה סימן לבניך, כשם שעמדת לפניי בדין ביום זה, ויצאת בדימוס, כך עתידים בניך להיות עומדים לפניי בדין ביום זה, ויוצאים בדימוס. וכל זה מתי? בחודש השביעי, באחד לחודש. ומכאן שמח למה אדם נידון בראש השנה יותר מבשאר ימים. And then he even says, בשמיים יש עוד שמזל החודש הזה מוזניים. Even in nature, it trickles down to express itself in the constellation of the month of Tishrei is that of the מוזניים. Which becomes like the symbol of the month. But in any case, as was said, Adam Arishon was judged on this day. We are Bnei Adam. We go back to the same place and we're judged on the same day. That's the origins. That's the historical origin of Rosh Hashanah. And this, all this background, first of all, gives us a little knowledge as into the mode that we're entering into. But to take it into the discussion that we're talking about, and we asked, we're trying to address, are there levels that we can address to deal with that frustrating experience of falling into the same pitfalls every Yamim Noroyim, year after year? So here, so let's emphasize the following. What comes out of this discussion, what we've seen till now, is Rosh Hashanah is different than all other Moedim. All Moedim, their historical origin, including the Rabbanan, of course, Purim and Hanukkah, go back to stages in Jewish history that activated an aspect of Jewish identity, Jewish essence. The Cherut of Bnei Yisrael, it's a crucial element within us, primary as can be. Zman Cheruteinu, Zman Matan Torateinu, Zman Simchateinu, each one brings out and activates another part in our being as a people and definitely every individual. Within his soul, there's a place called Simcha, there's a place called Zman Matan Torateinu, there's a place called Cherut, the Mekubalim, well, defining, what is that place in the human soul that's defined as such? And what's that part of the soul that comes out on Hanukkah, on Purim, on each and every day? It's well defined, it's well organized. What's special about Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't go back to any event in the history of Klal Yisrael. Though later on, I think Duran later on does consider that maybe if it's on Yom Kippurim, that Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the second set of Luchot, so 10 days earlier was a significant stage in the process. It's like a quandary. What was the first Rosh Hashanah? Didn't exist. It did not exist. It's not so clear in that first year, because it was during the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the last Luchot, the second of Luchot. In any case, in Rosh Hashanah, we're not going back to a historical stage in Klal Yisrael. We're going back to the origin of everything, to Briat HaOlam. And in that sense, what's so incredibly intense, and that's the way it should be experienced by us, there's a certain unique intensity on Rosh Hashanah that no other day has. And the intensity lies in the fact that we're back at the point of creation. It means it's examining life on the most primary level of the very beginning itself. Let's reflect upon that. Where does that meet me? Where does it meet my life? It means that creation, or if you wish to talk about it on a level that's more personally relevant to me, life. And this is all, what I'm saying right now, is rooted in the sources and expressed in all sources. Life is dished out, even though we don't see it as such, and we don't experience it as such, because we don't look at the world through Torah eyes enough. We're trying. And that's all that we're trying to do here in Yeshiva. Trying to gain the God's or the Torah's perspective of reality and of life. The true godly Torah view of reality is that life comes to an end at the closing moments of that day coming up soon called Erev Rosh Hashanah. I give out life for 1 year. I don't give life for 120. I give life for 1 year. And when that finishes, you go back on Rosh Hashanah into the womb of life, where there's a new judgment. Should I give him more life? Or Chalila not? Is this intense? It's intense. Could there be anything more intense? No. It's the day that forces us to develop the maturity to face life and the other side of the coin of life straight into the eye. We're all year round. We play the game like most people in the world. We're never going to die. Life and death is not really relevant to me, most of us. The Zohar already said, Rashbi already says, most people in the world, they live in this delusion that they're never going to die. And that's the way they live their life. But they know that they're going to die. But we're never going to die. It's an amazing thing. Okay, psychologists will explain it. Defense mechanisms, etc., etc., etc. Beseder. But it's important for a Jew to be aware of it. Am I going to be like another secular Western person that's going to play all day the games that I'm not dying? And every single wrinkle that comes about and cover up, cover up, cover up, cover up, cover up, cover up. You know, when I hear the term makeup, it nauseates me. I'm not saying not to wear it for our wives, of course, to wear makeup. But the term, to make up. Nobody can blame Judaism for degrading and looking down on beauty. It's just that, to put it in the right context, okay? But to play a game, as I always say, you'll see, I remember seeing once in Florida, two women, at least 85 years old, they were going out to the mall with their jeans and sneakers, like they're 17 years old. It's like, is there to wear jeans? Especially if they're not Jewish. No, of course not, but you get this deep sense that you're like, I think a lot of American society is about that. Let's try to hold on with our nails into the youth. But you see that it's not, you're not a youth, you're not an adolescent anymore. No. I'll cover up any sign that says otherwise. Anyways, level number one for tonight, I think, is what I tell myself year after year. Try to remind myself of these concepts. If I were to really, really try to tap into that place and identify with Torah and identify with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that indeed my life ends on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Mamash kepshuto. Not as an idea, it's reality. Then the whole Rosh Hashanah experience is different. That means I enter into Rosh Hashanah, into a new debate. Life from scratch. Whoever I was this past year, it's it. It's like, what is that material that kids play with?
Play-Doh.
What?
Play-Doh.
Play-Doh. Okay? It's like you form something out of that for 1 year. Rosh Hashanah, I don't know, to use that as a metaphor. I recommend produce other metaphors in your head. Metaphors are one of the only ways to reach more subtle, abstract concepts. And then Rosh Hashanah is about, okay, let's put it back, make a little ball out of it again. And then a new Yetzirah, a new Briah comes out. If I really tap into that place, or I try at least, there's somewhat of a chance that all year round next year, I will be drawing my life and my existence from a new stage. I'm no longer who I was. My life started from scratch again. I'm not a continuum. That's the biggest tragedy of human existence, that I let the past govern over me. We all know this. I'm not being mechadish anything. Conditioned thinking, which leads to conditioned feelings, which leads to conditioned behavior. Who I was is who I'm going to continue being. What used to press my buttons once upon a time will continue, because she will always be that way, and she was always going to throw negative remarks at me. For some people, it's one's mother. For others, it's one's wife. For others, it's who knows whom, okay? as opposed to every day starting fresh. It's not so much our direct discussion right now, though deeply related. At least Rosh Hashanah, if it's really an end to 1 year, then the new year is a new Bria completely. My life ended. Now something else started. Now it's hard to hold on to that consciousness the whole year after. We lose it to a great extent. But the extent by which I prepare now, this week and a half, now, these weeks for Rosh Hashanah, to that extent, by the extent of the preparation for Moed, that's the extent of how much of the Moed is going to affect me. And to the extent that this Rosh Hashanah, I will really experience it as Rosh Hashanah doesn't take place here. It doesn't take place in Olam Hazeh. It takes place in Beitin Shilmala. Beitin Shilmala is not in Olam Hazeh. The sun will rise in the same way. The birds will sing in the same way. Outwardly, the Kotel Plaza, everything is more or less going to look the same. It's not happening in Olam Hazeh. The regalim happen in Olam Hazeh also. Not only, but also. They have agricultural manifestation. Rosh Hashanah doesn't have any agricultural manifestation. It's above that. It hovers above that. It's the judgment over what's going to be an agricultural process over the course of the next year, expressed in the regalim. Will there be rain? Will there not be rain? Will there be life? Will there not be life? Will there be sustenance? Will there not be sustenance? But the judgment happens above this world. It's not life. All Moedim happen in life. This is the womb of life. That's what's unique about Rosh Hashanah. And hence the intensity. We all know and we all somehow chap that life in the womb is concentrated, intense, and the most delicate stage in one's development, in one's life. And that's Rosh Hashanah. I'm in the womb of life. I'm not in life. I'm in the womb of life. Outwardly here, yes, I'm still drawing it. It's brought down. The Gemara says it. That the judgment of Rosh Hashanah and Aseret Yemei Tshuva, meaning in terms of the functioning of this world, draws from the din of the previous year until Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim is when the plane comes, so to speak, of the new year, touches the wheels, touch the ground. Ne'ilah feels it, and that's it. A new year begun. It began in Rosh Hashanah. But it was still open. It was subject to change. It was subject to tshuva. It wasn't finalized. That's the difference between ketiva and chatima. The moment we reach the chatima, the chotmeinu, ne'ila, that's it. Motzei Yom HaKippurim, whatever happens now is from the new din of the year. When did it begin? It began on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't happen here. It happens above here. If I were to identify with that place, truly, there's a chance that's going to remain somewhat registered in my head, and that my new life from a new year is drawing from a new place, and I've somewhat freed myself from conditionings of the past. Okay? That's level number one. Rav Shlomo, kama zman yesh lanu? Huh? Shall we lamshich? Okay, level number two. Let's go deeper in. Level number two is a fascinating phenomenon about Rosh Hashanah. If I were to ask, we know that Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah. Where does it appear in the Torah? Where does it say in the Torah, in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, that Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah? It doesn't. Where does it say Rosh Hashanah is Yom Adin? It doesn't. Where does it say in Chamisha Chumshei Torah that Rosh Hashanah is the day of the creation of the world? It doesn't. Where does it say these things? So let's see quickly, in 2 minutes, some sources. I'll just run through it. We don't have that much time. Look inside in source number 7. Okay, it's the first Mishnah of Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Arba'a she'ishanim. It's a Mishnah. That Rosh Hashanah is a Rosh Hashanah. Be'echad b'nisan Rosh Hashanah le'melechim ve'lergalim. Be'echad b'elul Rosh Hashanah le'maser b'mar. Ablezer b'Rav Shimon omrim be'echad b'tishrei. באחד בתשרי, ראש השנה, לשנים ולשמיטים וליובלות, לנטייה ולירקות. Skip with me to source number 4. Right here, source number 4. The Gemara on that Mishnah says, לעניין מה? And למה נפקמין? What does it mean that it's Rosh Hashanah? לשנים, what? What's the implication? So, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak אמר, לדין. that it's a Rosh Hashanah for the judgment. Dichtiv mereshit hashana v'ad acharit hashana, which says in Parshat Ekev. Mereshit hashana, we're judged what will be by the end of the year. The whole year is judged already by the beginning of the year. But the Gemara asks, yeah, but who says that it's on Tishrei? Look inside, please. Minayde Tishrei hu? How do we know that the first of Tishrei is that day of judgment? The Gemara says, oh, it says, where? In Tehillim. Dichtiv tiku v'chod ha-shofar. We know this pasuk, we said every week. V'kesel yom chageinu. Blow on the chodesh a shofar. V'kese, which Chadal explained, on the day that the moon is covered, as we'll see in a moment. Liyom chageinu. Omeret ha-gemar, ezu chag she'achodesh mitkase bo. What moed, what chag do we have where the moon is covered? There's only one, and that is, we have Rosh Chodeshim, not Chagim. Which Chag? Hevei Omer is Rosh Hashanah. And what does it say immediately following that? V'chtiv, ki chok liYisraelu, mishpat l'Elokei Yaakov. That is the source in Tehillim, from the juxtaposition of those two psukim over there, that actually Rosh Hashanah is a day of Din. Yeah, but where is it saying in Torah Shebichtav? It doesn't. If you skip, if you look inside quickly, we're not going to see the whole thing inside. Maybe next week for those who will come, source number 5, at the bottom of the page, the Gemara in Daftet Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah from source 6, Tani Amar Rabbi Yudah Mishum Rabbi Yakiva, Kipneima Amar Torah Aviyu Omer BePesach, Kipnei SheHapesach Zman Tvuahu, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aviyu Lefanai Omer BePesach, Kedei SheTitbarech Lechem Tvuah SheBasadot. It's going to different Moedim. ומפני מה אמרה תורה אביו שתי הלחם בעצרת meaning in שבועות מפני שעצרת זמן פירות האילנו אמר הקדוש ברוך הוא הביאו לפניי שתי הלחם בעצרת כדי שיתברכו לכם פירות האילן. Sorry that I'm going through this quickly, we don't have so much time. ומפני מה אמרה תורה ניסחו מים בחג אמר הקדוש ברוך הוא ניסחו לפניי מים בחג כדי שיתברכו לכם גשמי שנה. And then we come to Rosh Hashanah, and here it says, and it doesn't say מפני מה אמרה תורה, because התורה לא אמרה, meaning Torah שבכתב, חמישה חומשי תורה. Rather though, ואמרו לפניי בראש השנה מלכויות, זיכרונות ושופרות, that triple entity of ראש השנה, מלכויות, זיכרונות, שופרות, will leave for next week, בעזרת השם. What does it mean? What is that triangle about? How does it define the content and the essence of ראש השנה? בעזרת השם, we'll see. And we'll deeply relate it to the final pasuk of Malchuyot, which is the topic of the series that Bezrat Hashem will be working with this year, and that is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. In any case, why? V'ibru lefanai b'rosh Hashanah malchuyot zichronot v'shofarot, malchuyot kedei shetamlichuni alechem, zichronot kedei sheyale zichronechem lefanai letova, ubame b'shofar. Now this is already giving all the content, the definitions. Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah. It has halachic nafkaminas in terms of what is Rosh Hashanah. It's Yom Adin. Man is judged. The whole year is judged. It's the day of the creation of the world. Long discussions in Machlokot and the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah, whether the world was created on Tishrei or Nisan, Machlokot Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. It's a lot. Malchuyot, Zichronot, Shofarot. But all this is either from Psukim and Tehillim or Torah Shebe'al Peh. What does Torah Shebichtav say about Rosh Hashanah? Look inside. Source number 8. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Daber el bnei Yisrael lemor. Remember? Parshat Emor, Parshat Emoadot. It goes through the entire Moadim process. We often hear it a few times during the year. Daber el bnei Yisrael lemor. Each and every Moad, Torah Shebichtav already, before Torah Shebe'al Peh, gives us some content. What is Yom HaKippurim? Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper alechem mikol avonotechem letaer etchem. What is Sukkot? Ki b'sukkot hoshavti et bnei Yisrael. Leman tedu ki b'sukkot hoshavti et bnei Yisrael. Pesach, Chirut, Yitzia Mitzrayim. It's all brought down explicitly. Torah Shebe'al Peh develops it. Halacha lemaaseh takes it on to the endless infinite details of halacha. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, all that it says is the following. Some of you may know this already. Daber et bnei Yisrael lemor. B'chodesh ha-shvi b'echad l'chodesh. What moed is that? On the seventh month? On the first day, Rosh Hashanah. Yeh lachem Shabbaton, zichron tru'ah mikra kodesh. That's it? That's it. In Parshat Pinchas, there's another mentioning, and there they even drop zichron, and it's only Yom Tru'ah. And I meant to figure out what this is. No Rosh Hashanah, no Yom Adin, no Briyat Olam, no zichronot shofar. I mean, zichron is mentioned there, and tru'ah has different connotations, but also shofar. It doesn't say anything about what this day is about. There's a gorgeous, I didn't think we had time to see it inside, so I didn't photocopy it, If you want, those who want individually, come, I'll show you. I owe this to Rabbi Yoel Yehoshua. When he showed it to me, I'm not even sure that Rav Creditor was born. It was so many years ago that he showed me this. And it's a piece, a beautiful, deep piece in Rabbeinu B'chaye. Today, after many years, I think today is maybe my most favorite Rishon on Chumash. Talmud of the Ramban. Rabbeinu B'chaye HaTorah is, well, in his introduction to the Parshiyot, people really want to make a kinyan on deep concepts in Torah, Shebechtav, I recommend, highly recommend, Rabbeinu B'chaye HaTorah. We have it here in the library, the green books. On this pasuk, Rabbeinu B'chaye gives a klal. You should know, I'm going to ruin it, because his words of Arishon are so gorgeous and beautiful. The deeper or higher, I don't remember the language exactly, that a mitzvah in Torah comes from, the higher the place in reality that a mitzvah in Torah comes from, the fewer are going to be the words in Torah to describe it. That's what he says. He gives it as a cloud, but he bases it in Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, what he's claiming is Rosh Hashanah draws, I know it sounds very flaky, for now we'll try to bring it down over the next few minutes, on some level at least. Rosh Hashanah is a level which is beyond any other moed. And it draws from a place that words can't reach. And that's why there are so few words to address it. Let's try to pour a little content over the next few minutes. Number one, interestingly enough, Mitzvat Hayom, Tkiat Shofar, is indeed beyond words. What do I mean by that? If I were to ask you, the blowing of a shofar, what in human expression does it sound like? What is it? Like a cry. Halachically, where do we learn? The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah learns the details of Tkiat Shofar from the crying of the mother of Sisra. It's a cry. Chazal say it, it's a Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. Same about, interestingly enough, fascinating, not so known, that when Sarah heard from the Satan that Avram, as if, shechted Yitzchak, she cried like the shofar. Mamash goes into the details. And she dies. Consistently, somehow, and I'm not elaborating in it, extremely deep, it's for years on my mind, consistently, Tkiat Shofar has to do with a mother crying over her child. Em Sisra, and Lahavdil, Sarah over Yitzchak. In any case, it's a cry. It's a sound. It's a scream. It's not speech. I saw somewhere, his stomach comes from someplace in Chassidut. I won't be surprised if it's from Chabad, because it's very profound. Speech comes from the head. And a scream comes from the heart. People who like food for thought, a lot of food for thought. I suspect the reason why animals could produce sounds which resemble a scream or a cry, and they're not able to speak because they don't have the brain to speak, because the seat or the origin of speech is in the head. It requires human thinking. The heart, which is a sound, which is much more encompassing, it's from the source of life itself, from the heart. One of the painful moments for the agricultures by us, they're used to it. For me, it's very painful always to hear, not far from where we there's fields outside of our house, and at some times of the year they have cows. Some of you may remember cows, and there is those times, two times of the year, there are a lot of calves born. And then comes the stage where they separate the mothers from the calves. And you hear the entire night, I want to cry. The mothers just like crying and crying. You must hear them crying over their children. I don't know how one could do that. One of my neighbors, for years, worked with the cows. And he has a picture. His WhatsApp picture is this cow that's like its head is sticking out. And what it's, he explained to me, well, he took a picture. It was dying for its child. Where is my child, which I just gave birth to? It was taken away from me. We think, well, what does a cow understand? A cow doesn't understand, but a cow feels, a cow experiences. A cow has an attachment, which is not able to conceptualize and explain, but it experiences an attachment to a child. And when it's taken away, it cries. So, in any case, so a shofar is not about speech. It's deeper than speech. It's from the source of life itself. It has to do with a day where life is reinvented from. So when the Rabbeinu Bachaye says that the essence of the day is beyond words, no wonder that the mitzvah tayom is indeed beyond words. When we experience a very intense experience, which is beyond words, we scream, hopefully good scream, when your friend will call you and says, I'm engaged. You're going to say, what's her name? Where's she from? No. You will scream. You'll say, wow. And then, once you calm down, break it down into details. Where's she from? What's her name? Da, 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 da. But the first reaction is so captivating, words are too small to experience that. I always say, the example I always bring for many years is, I remember the years I used to go on the Eilat Hill with the guys. You go up Har Shlomo, I don't know if they took you last year, and you walk, and then you get to the top, many guys scream. It means they're really experiencing something. Oh, wow. It's a wow when you get to the top there. Now, no word. Then you go into words. What's that? That's that. Where's Egypt? Where's Saudi Arabia? Where's Jordan? Those are details, but the scream has to do with something way more encompassing. It's beyond words. Let's go deeper into it. Source number one. I have it in front of us just for us to reflect. We know it by heart. We say this three times a day. Tka b'shofar gadol l'cheiruteinu. Okay, this is going to be the final stage for tonight. Tka b'shofar gadol l'cheiruteinu. What has tkiat shofar got to do with cherut, with freedom? We know that it has, number one, from here. Number two, we learn Hilchot Shofar, they're deeply interrelated with the laws of Yovel and Shichur Avadim, which is with Tkiat Shofar and the Yom Kippurim of Shnat HaYovel. Bim Shoch HaYovel, which is the Shofar, Hema Yalu Bahar from Har Sinai. All that triangle of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim Shel HaYovel and Ma'amad Har Sinai, there's always a Shofar over there. We mentioned the Psukim, so many of them, and Shofarot, and the Psukim of Shofarot, if you remember from last year. What does Tkiat Shofar got to do with freedom? How does it set me free? Source number three. This is as deep as it could possibly go, I think. When I'm about, the connection I'm making is not mine. It's brought on in Sfarim, some deeper Sifrei Kabbalah and Chassidut, it's spoken about. I didn't quote the sources, but you should know it comes from the most real sources. Source number three. We're talking about the making of man. We're talking about the return to the day of the making of man. And the making of man is, source number three, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et Adam afar min ha'adama vayipach be'apav nishmat chayim vayi Adam nefesh chaya. We quote this pasuk a lot. It's a life-changing pasuk, if I stop to reflect upon it. And God blew of His breath into man, which becomes the human soul. And in Lashon HaKodesh, it works, which in English it doesn't. Because in Lashon HaKodesh, a breath is a neshima, and a soul is a neshama. God's neshima becomes the source of my neshama. And that's the biblical source for the idea that you hear in Sfarim. Some of you may learn Nefesh HaChai, may some of you learn it in Sifrei Chassidut. The profound, profound life-changing consciousness. I'm a breath of God. I contain a piece of God within me. I'm made in the image of God, but not just in the image of God. Deeper, there's godliness within me. I can't sell this concept to Shana Aleph people yet. People here, yes. It's life-changing awareness. How much responsibility and obligation come from such an awareness? And thank God we've weaned ourselves, I think, to enough of an extent from the warped concepts of freedom of the Western world to be bothered by the fact that I have Jew, being a Jew comes with obligations. I don't think any of us have a problem with the beginning of Mesilat Yesharim. Sheitbaer la'adam ma chovato ba'olamo. What's my obligation in the world? I exist. I'm obligated. I exist. I have responsibilities. Thank you for letting me exist. What can I do for you? That's the way I'm supposed to be talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unless I think that I made myself as some fools like Paro and so many atheists today. That's something else. But if we're not fools, and we're aware of the fact that someone made me, I owe my existence to you. What can I do for you? That's Jewish consciousness. What can I do for you? Not what can you do for me. What can I do for you? Also in your marriage. Not what can she do for me? Something we heard once, a yeshiva guy was getting older and older, not getting married, no wonder. He said, I'm looking for a woman who will be like the wife of Rabbi Akiva to me. Excuse me. Maybe, what would you like to be giving to your wife? Nah. Okay? No wonder the guy's not married. Hopefully he did tshuva by now. I heard this many years ago. Anyways, so with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayipach be'apav nishmat chayim. I contain within me. The deepest essence in me is a godly breath. V'may nafkamina. Nafkamina as follows. I've mentioned this concept in the past. I think it's the most intense time of the year to reflect upon it. The following point I mentioned when I spoke to the Rav Meza Shir yesterday afternoon. A person comes to yeshiva, and for the first time in his life, often that's the case, starts thinking, what is life? Who am I? What do I want from life? What do I want to become? When does it happen? The age of 18. By some few, it starts at the age of 16. Usually before that, it's very seldom that you find people that are thinking about life when they're 14, 15. 16, 17, you come to Israel, away from everything that we're conditioned. We get an opportunity, and we're encouraged. Us think. So we start thinking. Who am I? Who do I want to become? Is that necessary? It's not necessary. It's crucial. But there's something very significant which is lacking. I didn't begin at the age of 18. Chazal say, famous Gemara, Keshem sheparzufahem shonim kach deotahem shonim. Just as we differ from each other in our faces, we differ in our character, with our da'at, with our perspective. My unique feature is a physical reflection of the uniqueness of my character. All brought down as sources completely. Experientially, we also experience it as such. We chap a person. Who he is goes with how he looks. Whether he channels it to the good or bad, that's his free choice. Now, when did my face begin? At the age of 18? At birth? No, at conception, in my mother's womb. I remember seeing a sonogram picture of our son from the profile. My wife said, look, his mama, it's his nose. I mean, this years that maybe he was 3-4 years old, our son said, it's Mama Shem. Of course it would be so. There's no chiddush. It's just like fascinating to see. Whoever we end up looking like is already determined at the moment of conception. That means that whatever my character is, my talents, what I'm good in, who am I? It doesn't begin when I start thinking about it. It's important to start thinking about it. That's crucial. But at the age of 18, I'm not trying to figure out who I want to be. Maybe that's good for a secular person. I'm trying to figure out who I have been made as. To discover who God chose for me to be. It's a completely different consciousness. Tkiat shofar gadol lechirutenu. Tkiat shofar is the activating of that place in my soul, which is the beginning and the origin of me in the first place. That's that place in my call. That's my place in my soul. That's called Vayipach Be'apav Nishmat Chayim. When I hear the shofar, what's happening is that there's a blowing into and a redoing and a renewing of that deepest place in my soul, which is that breath of God that was infused into me. That Tkiat Shofar is a reigniting of that. The Shlach HaKadosh gives a mashal to that, beautiful mashal. And that is, you take a charcoal, which is like burning a little, then you blow into it, and then it brings it out, brings the energy out. That's the blowing of the shofar. It's the activating of that charcoal of what? Of the godly breath in me. That's what's reignited, that's what's redefined, that's what's revisited. The humans, the part in my soul that Rosh Hashanah addresses, different parts of the year address different parts of the human soul. The human part of the human soul on Rosh Hashanah is the deepest place in me. It's the breath of God that was blown into me. It sounds flaky. I think everybody in this room is deep enough and mature enough to address it, to think about it. L'may nafkamina. I'll tell you what the huge nafkamina. It has all the difference in the world in terms of concepts of tshuva. Because I may have done this in my life, and I may have done that, and my eyes have seen, unfortunately, this and that, and I lost my innocence. A long list! All these things are filthy garments that we're not proud of, and we would much rather for them not to be there. And we're going to try very hard that our children will not go in the same mistakes that we did. And we won't necessarily expose them to the things that our parents exposed us to. You and your wife have to figure it out. But all these are later dirty garments that began at the age 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, till recently. It changed recently. I'm talking about most people in this room. So we don't want them. It's hard to let go. But they're very much there. And even when we think that they're no longer there, they remind us in certain circumstances they're still there. And then Rosh Hashanah, that's it, I'm not. And I come back and I'm frustrated again. Topic which we started off with, I can't get out of it. It's always the same. But if I were to experience Rosh Hashanah, and in that sense it's deeper than what we talked about in level number one, it's level number two, and I'm wrapping up with that. If I were to tap into that place, mentally, really think and reflect upon, I don't begin at the age of 11, 12, 13 when I first exposed myself to stuff that I should not have been exposed to. I begin, if I'm 18 now, if I'm 19 now, I began 19 years before now, plus 9 months. That's where I began. I began as a godly breath, pristine, pure, and innocent, and godly as can be. And that did not go anywhere, as all sources talk about. Neshama shenatata bi, tohorahi. Lower parts of the soul have been tainted. The essence of the soul has not changed one bit. If I tap into that place, and I don't try to figure out who I want to become, I try to figure out who God intended for me to be. What's the havamina of me by God? What did He think? And what is His intent when He made me? That's completely life-changing. Then I'm coming back to address my mistakes. Not from that place, same place like last year. From a completely higher place. I'm coming from that place which is the most true me. You know what place that is? And we'll finish with that. It's the place which is the polar opposite. Polar opposite. Of what's going on in the world of today. Am I being recorded? Great. Where people are so wrapped up in that Avodah Zarah consciousness, I belong to me, I made me, and I'm deciding at the age of 18, now almost 15, or maybe 9, I don't identify with my gender, I'll change it. Of course, but archaic, old-fashioned. That's what he wants. Let him do it. The kid is 9 years old. You're going to let him butcher his body when he doesn't even know what it means to be a human being before even gender identity? You traumatized him completely by giving him a cell phone with no filter. He saw at the age of 10 things that a 20-year-old would be absolutely traumatized if he would see. And he would have to go to either therapy or to do self-therapy to not brainwash, but to wash his brains over and over and over to try somehow to regain some level of innocence. at the age of 10, he has zero vessels for that. He's been completely traumatized in the most intimate places in his soul. He's messed up in the most personal place within him. No wonder 2 years later he comes to daddy and mommy, I don't identify with who my gender. You traumatized them, you changed them for life. We're liberal, we're free. Whatever he wants, he doesn't identify with his gender. This is the place which is the polar opposite of what we're talking about. That's the deepest possible machloket. Who am I? Do I determine, or who am I? Does he who made me determine? It's the deepest machloket. For us, Baruch Hashem, that our heads are plugged on to the rest of our body correctly, the Avodat Hayom of Rosh Hashanah. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et ha'adam afar min ha'adama. Vayipach be'apav nishmat chayim. How much attention this Rosh Hashanah and the whole coming year am I going to be giving to the fact that I'm a godly breath? How is it going to change my life? How is it going to change the way I eat, the way I drink, the what I do or what I do not stare at? How I carry myself, how I communicate, how I relate, how in a year or two am I going to date? How am I going to be married? What kind of a husband? What kind of a father will I be if I'm a godly breath? Is there an area of life that it doesn't touch? Is there an area of life that it doesn't affect? It's meant to affect every cell in my body, every molecule in my body. None of this is flaky. None of this is like, too deep philosophical. It's so, ki karov alecha davar meod, I'm speaking to myself. It's so present, it's so real. And because if I don't chop it, that means I don't accept it, that means I'm arguing with that pasuk. Why is that pasuk there? To give us some esoteric description of the making of man? Kol davar b'torah is mugdar ketorat Hashem. It's there to teach me. The pasuk is teaching me who I am. It's a map of my own inner reality. I'm a walking breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't begin in me. I begin by Him with a capital H. As tainted as I may have become, that's not me. That's a forged me. And by Yom Kippur, I want to vomit out those parts. When we get closer to Yom Kippur, we can talk about the mechanisms, the vidui, how that works, how it's like, actually, it's not stam, I use that term. It's a vomiting out. It's meduyuk in the Gemara in Masechet Yuma, Perek Shmini, that it's a vomiting out. I vomit out the parts in me which are not me. How could I do that if on Rosh Hashanah I re-recognize and re-identified the place in me that's higher than all those garments? If that's really who I am, so the garments are external to me. I can take them off. I can put them in the wash. They don't define me. What defines me is a place in me which is pure, innocent, and clean as a pristine child. I've never gone anywhere. I don't experience it. But as I have recommended in the past, one of the ways to do that, if you have, stare at it. And if you don't, ask your parents to send you pictures from when you were 3, 4, 5 years old. And just stare at it. Go to the Kotel, stare at the picture. I do that. I have pictures that a cousin gave me a couple years ago when I was 5 years old. I was 6 years old. I have them out in the room in my study and home where I learn. And every now and then I stare at it. It doesn't belong to the past. It defines my essence in the present. There's no end to the nafkamina here. Tka b'shofar gadol lecheruteinu. Why is this cherut? Because I'm free then to be me. I spoke about it on the Shabbaton, last Shabbaton in DRS. They also claim, liberals, free to be me. What are you, religious people? Free to be me, that's liberalism. No, the difference is, you're free to be me with a regular M. And we're talking about free to be me with a capital M. My nafkamina, everything we spoke about. Free to be me with a capital M is free to be what God made me to be. I have a problem with the fact that God made me? Oh, Hashem, I think all of us, what we don't. We're humble enough to understand. We didn't make ourselves. Mabaya, thank you for letting me be. What can I do for you? That's the consciousness. There's nothing more freeing than that. It helps me let go of any layer in me which is not me. I can peel it off. It's peelable. It's a garment. I can peel it off. And I can discover within me the snow white essence of a child who's innocent, pure, happy, calm, jolly, and smooth and healthy, the way I came out of God's oven. Toda rabah.